Lesson number 4, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the essence, the power, the mind, and spiritual extension of God. God begets Christians as His sons through this Spirit. It strengthens a Christian spiritually, converts his mind, and serves as a guarantee of eternal life. The Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of truth, Comforter or Advocate. It is the power of God, the mind of God, and the extended means by which God accomplishes His work throughout the universe. As such, the Holy Spirit is not a separate entity. It has no independent existence as an individual, entity, or person within the Godhead. It was through His Spirit that God created the earth. See Genesis 1, verse 2. It was through this Spirit that David received his moral strength, Psalms 51, verses 10 through 13. And by this Spirit, Elijah and Elisha, men with normal physical proclivities and weaknesses, were made into powerful prophets of God, 2 Kings 2, verse 9 and 15. Even though these men and others had access to God's Spirit, it is also clear that they were among the relative few who, in the Old Testament era, were blessed with the privilege of actually having the mind and the power of God work with or dwell within them. God uses His Spirit to accomplish all His work, whether causing prophets to prophesy, kings to reign, craftsmen to create, as in Exodus 31, verse 3, bodies to be moved, Ezekiel 3, verse 12 and 14, or people to keep His laws, Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. Everything God does is through the power of His Spirit. God is Spirit, John 4:24. Both members of the Godhead, Father and Son, are literally composed of Spirit. They are wholly made of spiritual essence, in the same fashion as we are made of physical particles. Yet God the Father and Jesus Christ are separate beings. Each maintains his own distinct identity and independent existence, and each, therefore, utilizes his own Spirit, though both the Father Spirit and Christ Spirit are an integral part of the common Holy Spirit. God the Father was unknown in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ came to reveal Him in the New. God the Father was the one who begot Jesus Christ. He did so through His Spirit, which is the same Spirit He begets spiritual children through today. Indeed, God the Father has retained to Himself the unique capacity to beget new spiritual beings. Under the new covenant, the Spirit of the Father has been made available in a universal way, as was explained by Peter on the day of Pentecost when the church began. Acts 2, verses 1 through 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Before His death, Christ promised His disciples that the Holy Spirit, which then worked with them, should be given to them and should actually be in them. John 14, verse 17. This Comforter should teach the disciples all things and remind them of all that Christ had said to them. John 14, verse 26. This same Spirit, which was given to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, is available to all whom God calls. Upon true repentance granted by God and upon true belief in Jesus Christ, one may be baptized and then receive God's Spirit through the laying on of hands ceremony performed by God's ministers. Acts 2, verse 38, and Acts 8, verses 12 through 17. God further states that He gives His Holy Spirit only to those who obey Him. Acts 5, verse 32. God's Holy Spirit creates deep changes within the individual, actually converting or changing the type of mind that the person possesses. The Holy Spirit generates within Christians its very fruit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. See Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It encourages us through trials and empowers us to do the work of God. Once a person receives the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, he must use it in order to grow in the knowledge and grace of God. God's Spirit gives Christians the mind of Christ, as in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, to enable them to view life from a godly perspective instead of from a selfish one. It is this power that gives us the capacity to obey God. The deep mystery of the plan of God for mankind cannot be completely and totally understood without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 10. Of even greater significance is the fact that through the Spirit we are actually begotten as sons of God and become members of the body of Christ, the Church, 1 Corinthians 12. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink of one Spirit." The seed of this Holy Spirit, planted by God after baptism, grows and develops spiritually within us as we grow in obedience and submission to God's law. The Holy Spirit is dynamic. It flows from God to and through the Christian and is expressed in his attitudes and actions. The more we use God's Spirit, the stronger our new spiritual life becomes. Finally, at the resurrection, this spiritual part of us becomes the totality of our composition and essence, and it overtakes the physical so that mortality, meaning our physical essence, might be swallowed up of spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. God's Word reveals that the Holy Spirit is an earnest, meaning a formal pledge or assurance of eternal life which God has implanted within us, making us His sons. As long as this Spirit is living within us, we are actually sons of God and brothers of Christ. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his," as it says in Romans 8, verse 9. And in Romans 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Indeed, the presence of the Holy Spirit is the best criterion to define the true Christian. It is his only real ratification, for one cannot be a true Christian without it. As long as we nurture the Holy Spirit and continue to renew it every day within us through prayer and diligent study of God's Word, then this earnest of God's Spirit is the absolute guarantee that we will be resurrected to spiritual life at Christ's return. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. Now please read these scriptures in your own Bible. God is composed of Spirit totally. Please read John 4:24. The Holy Spirit first became available to large numbers of people on the Old Testament holy day of Feast of First Fruits or Pentecost. Please read Acts 2, verses 17 and 18, and Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Pentecost means to count 50. A convert to Christianity at baptism is begotten by the Holy Spirit. Please read Acts 2:38. And Acts 8, verses 12 through 17, and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. Now, please answer the following questions before proceeding to the next lesson. You can stop the recording and write your answers, and if you cannot answer all the questions, you may wish to rewind part of lesson 4 and listen again before answering these questions. In the Old Testament, only a few men had access to the Spirit of God. True or false? That's true. God uses His Spirit to accomplish all His work. True or false? That's true again. God is composed totally of Spirit. True or false? That's true. God the Father was unknown in Old Testament times. True or false? That's true. Under the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit is now made available in a universal way. What verses first explained this on the holy day known as Pentecost or Feast of First Fruits? You find that in Acts 2, verses 17 and 18. Through the Holy Spirit, we are actually begotten as sons of God at baptism and become members of the body of Christ. Is that true or false? Once again, that's true. What is the down payment or earnest of our spiritual inheritance? What guarantees or seals us so that we will be certain of being resurrected into the God family? Well, that down payment is the Holy Spirit. For more information or to order additional copies, go to www.intercontinentalcog.org or you may call 903-561-7070.